Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldhar, and today Masechus Yevamos, Daf Pe Gimel, the eighth parak ha'oral. So the three tabs we're going to focus on, number one. The Gemara lists Mishnah is where Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon issued rulings together, and the halacha goes according to them. One of them being in terms of archava, grafting. The Mishnah in Shviz taught, we do not plant a tree, nor bend a vine and insert it into the ground, nor graft a branch onto an existing tree, Erev Shviz, less than 30 days before Shoshana, for it takes 30 days for something to take root. If one did, he must uproot it. Rabbi Yehuda said, any graft that does not take hold within 3 days will not subsequently take hold. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, the time it takes to take root is shtei shabbasos, 2 weeks. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, the Tanakam who holds 30 days requires 2 periods of 30 days, since the 30 days before Shoshana already usher to do malacha because of Tosfos Shviz. Rav Yudo holds 3 days requires 33 days, and Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon require 2 weeks and 30 days. Point number 2, Shmuel said the halacha is with Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon regarding Kiddush, rendering produce unfit regarding Kalayim. For it was taught in Mishnah and Kalayim, Ramir says, one who spreads his vine over the standing grain of his friend has rendered the grain unfit as Klai Kerem and as Chai for its loss. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, Ein Adam Osun Davar She'enu Shalo. A person cannot render something prohibited unless it belongs to him. Tosos explains that this principle only applies with prohibitions that require intent, such as Klai, but in cases that do not require intent, such as one putting Chalev or Nevela in his friend's pot of meat, the food certainly becomes forbidden. And point number 3, in the Mishnah Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, we learn that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tumtum whose genital covering was torn open and found to be a male should not perform chalitza, because he's a saris vadai, a definite saris. The Gemara here brings up rice where Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda says that a tumtum should not perform chalitza, for perhaps he'll be torn open and found to be a saris chama. The Gemara revises Rabbi Yossi to mean that perhaps it will be a female, and even if it's a male, perhaps it will be discovered to be a saris chama. Rabbi Yossi holds that he's only a suffix series. The Gemara asks what the nafkamin is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and his father Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a tumtum is a definite series, and Rabbi answers, Lipsol b'machim achim v'lachu et shalob b'machim achim, to disqualify the yamvama for yibum when there are other brothers, and to perform chalitza when there are no other brothers. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that he's a series, vada, his act of chalitza has no validity, and she still may be taken yibum by the other brothers, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, it may have validity if he's not a series chama. If there are no other brothers, Rabbi Yehuda says she does not require chalitza from him, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, she does, since he might not be a saris chama. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. The Gemara lists Mishnayos where Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon issued rulings together, and the halacha goes according to them, and one of them being in terms of harchava, grafting. The Mishnah in Shviz taught, we do not plant a tree, nor bend a vine and insert it into the ground, nor graft a branch onto an existing tree, Erev Shviz, less than 30 days before Shoshana, for it takes 30 days for something to take root. If one did, he must uproot it. Rav Yehuda said, Kol harchava she'enu koletes b'shloshim yamim shuv einu koletes. Any graft that does not take hold within 3 days will not subsequently take hold. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, the time it takes to take root is shtei shabbasos, 2 weeks. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, the Tanakam who holds 30 days requires 2 periods of 30 days, since the 30 days before Shoshana already usher to do malacha because of Tosfos Shviz. Rav Yudo holds 3 days requires 33 days, and Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon require 2 weeks and 30 days. Point number 2, Shmuel said the halachas with Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon regarding Kiddush, rendering produce unfit regarding Kalayim. For it was taught in Mishnah and Kalayim, Ramir says, one who spreads his vine over the standing grain of his friend has rendered the grain unfit as Klai Kerem and as Chai for its loss. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, Ein Adam Osun Davar She'enu Shalo. A person cannot render something prohibited unless it belongs to him. Tosos explains that this principle only applies with prohibitions that require intent, such as Klai, but in cases that do not require intent, such as one putting Chalev or Nevela in his friend's pot of meat, the food certainly becomes forbidden. And point number 3, in the Mishnah Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, we learn that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tumtum whose genital covering was torn open and found to be a male should not perform chalitza, because he's a saris vadai, a definite saris. The Gemara here brings up rice where Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda says that a tumtum should not perform chalitza, for perhaps he'll be torn open and found to be a saris chama. The Gemara revises Rabbi Yossi to mean that perhaps it will be a female, and even if it's a male, perhaps he'll be discovered to be a saris chama. Rabbi Yossi holds that he's only a suffix series. The Gemara asks what the nafka mean is between Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and his father Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a tum tum is a deference of reason. Rabbi answers, Lipsol b'machim achim v'lachu etzshilu b'machim achim, to disqualify the Yambama for Yibum when there are other brothers, and to perform Chalitza when there are no other brothers. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds these asris, Vada, his act of Chalitza has no validity, and she still may be taken Yibum by the other brothers. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it may have validity if he's not asris kama. If there are no other brothers, Rabbi Yehuda says she does not require chalitza from him, whereas according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, she does, since he might not be a sris chama. All right, so now we go to our simmer daf pei gimel, and our standard simmon is a pogo stick, a pogo stick. So here goes. The farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shaviz spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tumtum neighbor's grain, who was distracted while being informed he should not perform chalitza. Once again, it's a motion. The farmer who uses pogo stick, that must be more in daf pei gimel. The farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shaviz, which reminds us, Gemara lists Mishnahs where Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon issued rulings together and the halacha goes according to them. One of them being, in terms of archova, grafting. The one does not graft a branch on a tree 2 weeks before Shaviz, which is understood to mean 44 days before Shaviz, since the 30 days before Shaviz are already usher to the halacha because of Tosva Shaviz. So the farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shaviz spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tumtum neighbor's grain. Which reminds us, Shmuel said the halakha of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon regarding kiddush, rendering produce unfit regarding klein. For it was taught in Mishnah and Klein, Rabbi Meir says one who spreads his vine over the standing grain of his friend has rendered the grain unfit as klai kerim and as chai for its loss. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, "Ein adam osu davar she'en shalo." A person cannot render something prohibited unless it belongs to him. And Tosos explains that this principle only applies with prohibitions that require intent, such as klai. But in cases that do not require intent, such as one putting chalav or nevela in his friend's pot of meat, the food certainly becomes forbidden. So the farmer uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shaviz spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tumtum neighbor's grain, who was distracted while being informed he should not perform chalitza. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a tumtum whose genital covering was torn open and found to be a male should not perform chalitza because he's a seris vadai, a definite seris. Whereas his son Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said that a tumtum is only a suffix seris. The nafka mina between them is to disqualify the yavama for yibum when there are other brothers, and to perform chalitza when there are no other brothers. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that he's a seris vadai, his act of chalitza has no validity, and she still may be taken in yibum by the other brothers, whereas according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it may have a validity if he's not a seris chama. If there are no other brothers, Rabbi Yehuda says she does not require chalitza from him, whereas according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, she does, since he might not be a seris chama. So once again, the farmer who uses pogo stick to jump up and graft a branch on a tree 44 days before Shaviz spotted a farmer spreading his vine over his tumtum neighbor's grain, who was distracted while being informed he should not perform chalitza. All right, now it's time for 4 Blah Bah Chazara. Dafayin Tess. So the Simur Dafayin Tess is a pen, and we often use a sofer with a quill. So here goes. The angry scribe, that must be more Dafayin Tess. The angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that David decreed against the Nisim when he sought to appease them, and they said they wanted him to give them 7 of Shaul's sons to hang. David sought an alternative way to appease them, but they would not be appeased. David said, Shosh simanim yesh b'umazo, there are 3 simanim of this nation, referring to Bnei Yisrael, harachamanim, baishanim, v'gomle chasadim. With a merciful, bashful, and do acts of kindness, whoever has these 3 simanim is worthy to cleave to this nation through marriage. Rashi explains that since the Givonim lacked rachamim, David decreed that they may not marry Jews. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, which reminds us, there were multiple decrees against the Nassim. Moshe decreed for that generation, Yeshua decreed while the temple stood, and David decreed against him for even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the angry scribe who lacked the merciful, bashful, and kind traits of a Jew, and threw his quills at 7 hanging corpses, had torn up multiple decrees that were made against his people, when he overheard someone call his father Asris Chama moments before his death, which reminds us, Rava said that if only having a shasa kosher, a period of suitability, does not create a need for chalitza, you'll never have a woman that is fit for Yibum. For there's no widow whose husband did not become a Sris Chama for one moment prior to his death. The Gemara answers that there it's merely a weakness that has begun for him, not actual sterility. Daf Pei. So the Simran Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. The painter. That must be Simran Daf Pei. The painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the eighth month, reaching his 20th birthday, which reminds us, according to Rabbi Avo, a child born in the eighth month of pregnancy, even if he's fully developed with hair and nails, we do not say that he's a bar kayama, a viable child, until he reaches the age of 20. The more questions whether a ben shmona can live, for it was taught in a brisa, ben shmona haruka evan, a child of the eighth month is treated like a stone and is forbidden to move him on Shabbos. The more answers Rabbi Avo was referring to a case where the child was a full-term seven-month fetus who developed simanim and lingered in the womb for an additional month. Even if he was born with the simanim of a viable child, such as with fully developed hair and nails, the child is not established as a bar kayama until the age of 20. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the eighth month, reaching his 20th birthday, uses Sri's Chama and Island, his anatomy book, as a guide, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a price that lists the very simanim for a Sri's Chama and an Islandese. So the painter commissioned to produce artwork to celebrate the occasion of the child born in the eighth month, reaching his 20th birthday, used the Sri's Chama and Ilani's anatomy book as a guide to paint a picture of a saris with all the simanim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas of Moraim regarding the simanim of a saris. Rav Huna says a person is not considered a saris ad shiukua until he has all of the simanim, but Rabbi Yochanan says, afil be'echmehen, he's a saris even if he has just one of them. Daf payoff, so the simon daf payoff is a grandpa. So here goes. Grandpa, that must more daf payoff. Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his bas Yisrael wife Truma, which reminds us that in the next mission states, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, androgynous Cohen, Shanasa bas Yisrael machil ba Truma, an androgynous Cohen, who's married to a bas Yisrael, entitles her to eat Truma. The Gemara brings a malchuk as a marayim. Rish Lakish said, machil ba Truma ve'ein machil b'chaz b'shok. He entitles her to eat Truma, but not the breast and thigh of kachim kalim. But Rabbi Yochanan says, af machil b'chaz v'shok. He even tells her to eat the chaz v'shok. Rish Lakish holds that androgynous is a safek ish, and therefore is only permitted to truma, which is nowadays at the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that an androgynous is a zachar v'adai, and therefore is even permitted to the deraisa, chaz v'shok. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his bas Yisrael wife truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed truma and chulun figs, which reminds us, Reish Lakish learns from the case of a round cake of pressed figs of truma that got mixed with other round cakes of figs, that it becomes batel. Rashi explains that if truma nowadays were a deraisa, it would not become batel, for items that are commonly counted when they are sold are considered a davar choshuv, something of significance, which the laws of bittel do not apply to. Rav Yochanan responded that he went in a brisa that a piece of tamei chatas meat that became mixed with slices of taro chatas meat does become batel, which demonstrates that the rice of prohibited foods that are commonly counted when sold are subject to bittel. Rather, it's only items that are exclusively counted that are deemed the davar chashuv and are not subject to bittel. So, Grandpa Cohen, who watches androgynous grandson give his bas Yisrael wife truma, sat in his rocking chair munching figs from the mixture of round cakes of pressed truma and chulun figs, and laughed about the time he mixed a piece of chatas tamei meat with 100 pieces of taur chatas meat. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan's case was where a piece of chatas tamei meat got mixed with 100 pieces of taur chatas meat, and it became batel. We see from here that the tamei slice of meat, even though it's commonly counted when it's sold, becomes batel. This contradicts Reish Lakish's opinion that any item which is commonly counted is a davar chashuv and is not batel. Rabbi Chiya Breid Rav Huna defended Reish Lakish's ruling by explaining the case as b'nimucha, where the piece of tamei chatas meat dissolved. Therefore, it's no longer commonly counted and is subject to bittel. Daf pei base. So the simon daf pei base is peanut butter. So here goes. The boy who got peanut butter. Peanut butter? That must be on daf pei base. The boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of chulin and truma grain that fell into two similar boxes, which reminds us that more questions whether Ryokan really holds truma nowadays is a deraisa. Based on a brisa that taught that if two boxes of grain, chulin and truma, fell into two other boxes, one of chulin and one of truma, we can assume that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. And Ryokan says this law applies even if the chulin grain in the chulin box was not more than the truma in the soft container. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that truma nowadays is a deraisa, how can he not require rov to be mevatel? Rav Yochanan answers that the Braisa is the Rabban who hold that Truma nowadays is only the Rabban, and his earlier statement was in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, who says that nowadays Truma is a Deraisa. So the boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of chulin and Truma grain that fell into two similar boxes decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikveh and then remove a saw, which reminds us. The Gemara asks if Rabbi Yochanan really holds that Rov is not required to be mevatel of the Rabban Isser, for it was taught in the Mishnah if a mikveh contains exactly 40 saw of water and one put in a saw of other liquids and then removed a saw of the mixture, the mikveh is still valid, and it was said in the Rabbi Yochanan, this procedure of adding a saw of water and removing a saw may be repeated ad rubo, up until the majority of the mikveh. Doesn't this mean that the majority of the mikveh water remained? And since Maim Shu'uvim, drawn water is only at the Rabbanim Psul for a mikveh, this implies the Rabbi Yochanan requires Rov to be mevato ad Rabban Isser. The Gemara answers that what is meant is that we should not remove a majority of the mikveh water, but an equal amount of mikveh water is enough to be mevato the Rabbanim Psul. Alternatively, we could say that Rabbi Yochanan does require a Rov, but in the case of the boxes of grain and chulin, we may rely on the leaning assumption that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. So the boy who got peanut butter all over two boxes of chulin and truma grain that fell into two similar boxes decided to use his empty peanut butter jar to add a saw of liquid to a mikveh and then remove a saw until he dropped and broken in fright when he saw an androgynous marry a woman. Which reminds us, on Daf Pei Alef Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish argued whether Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold that androgynous is a definite male or a suffix male. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Shlakish's opinion that he's a suffix male, for the Mishnah stated, androgynous nose, an androgynous marries a woman, which implies chachila, and the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon hold he's a definite male. The Gemara continues to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's position as well. Alright, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.